Hi, welcome to Extra Time. I'm John Raymond, the web editor for sport here at The National. I am joined today for a special Extra Time podcast by RJ Michelson, our photography editor, and Kevin Jeffers, our sports designer. Thanks for joining me, guys.
Thanks, man.
Hey, John.
We're going to preview the NBA Finals, which start tomorrow between the Golden State Warriors and the Cleveland Cavaliers. It's a good thing we have RJ here with us because Kevin and I are in agreement that Golden State will likely win. And RJ, just give us your argument. Why is LeBron's team better?
Well, I think it's going to be close, and I don't know that LeBron's team is better, but I think that the Cavs could come up with a strategy to limit the success that the Warriors have had thus far. And most importantly, if they can be more aggressive than some of the other teams have been on Stephen Curry, and they could rebound the basketball and do some of the fundamental things right, they could make it competitive and stay in each game. And you really never know what could happen. The last 10 minutes of a game are huge, and that's when LeBron likes to step it up. So I think the Warriors might end up taking it in six or seven games, but I think it's going to be a lot closer than a lot of people think. So it should be interesting because it also could be a passing of the torch if the Warriors do win, because they have some young talent. And it looks like if they can keep the bodies there, they could be good for some years to come. But I just like LeBron. I think he has he's a leader. He's one of the greatest ever. But like you guys said earlier in the green room, you can't have five against one. So the Cavs are going to have to step it up. J.R. Smith and Shumpert and Tristan Thompson are going to have to play the best series of their lives to win this series.
I'll start with my first caveat, which is that I do think the Warriors will win. Maybe I'm saying six, but I think it could be five, and I think it could be seven. But I do think there's been kind of, and I'm not sure we were as fair to you about this as earlier. I do think there's been kind of this sense that the Warriors are a historically great team, and mathematically, and I'm a believer in statistics and all this kind of stuff. The ELO rating that was on ESPN.com, statistically, they are a historically great team. That said, That's largely reliant on, 67 wins. They outscored their opponents by over 10 points during the regular season. They've mostly continued that in the playoffs. They're 12-3, outscoring opponents by 8 points. But Cleveland, since LeBron came back from his, GM summit in Miami or whatever it was, when he was wheeling and dealing for J.R. Smith and Timofey Mozgov and Iman Shumpert, which those guys have made a big difference, since that kind of team has been together, they have largely played at the same level. They've had about an 800 winning percentage. They've scored or outscored their opponents by about 10 points. So I don't think the margins are that big, even if we're granting that the Warriors are a historically great team. I think the Cavs might be right there with them. I just don't think, I think a lot of their strengths are similar. I think a lot of the things they try to do on the floor are similar. And I think the Warriors just kind of do it a little bit better. And I'm not sure where the Cavs can exploit the Warriors in any sense.
Yeah, that was my argument earlier when we were talking about it. When you look at what LeBron does better than anybody else outside of passing, it's, posting up anybody in the league, and teams have to double team him, and he can just hit any of his myriad three-point shooters, but he's not going to be able to just have his options against Golden State's defense, which was by far the best defense in the league this year. They won't have to double team him. Draymond Green or Iguodala can be on him all 48 minutes of the game. So LeBron is the best player in the series. He's the best player in the world. But it's not one against five. I think it's one against, seven, eight in this series. And I don't think it's going to be close. I'm with, most of the media here. I really think it's going to be a sweep, and there will be a couple of blowouts in there.
Well, I think there are a couple of keys to success for both teams that should be mentioned. I think everyone knows that Kyrie Irving has had a tough postseason with some injuries. They didn't really release some of the info to the media. Then they did, and I think fans and the media began to really kind of look to see, how ineffective he was, even though he's going to have a week or 10 days or so to rest before the finals. So the one question there is for the Cavs' success is how much can he give? Can he be Can he give 20 points a game, you know, 6 or 7 assists a game? And that's going to be huge. And I think another thing that we were talking about in the green room is the combined, you know, Cav team bench and starters need to make Curry and Thompson, the Splash Brothers, work for everything. You know, I mean, the team passes the ball so well that it seems to me that the team, those two all-stars haven't had to work as hard as they could have. So I am expecting LeBron and the defense of the Cavs, Tristan Thompson, and you know all the guys to really step up and be much more physical than any of the other teams have been thus far in the playoffs. So those are huge for the Cavs. For the Warriors, I think a lot of people don't talk about it, but they're some of their key starters have experienced a lot of foul trouble. You got Draymond Green, 61 fouls in the postseason. You have Klay Thompson, who one wouldn't expect, 44 fouls in the postseason, which is equal to that of Mozgov. So if J.R. Smith, if Shumpert can drive to the basket, get these guys in foul trouble, you might see the bench, which is far superior on the Warriors' end, come in earlier, come in that first quarter, early in the second quarter. So you even have Bogut, 58 fouls in the postseason, which is far more than the starting five of the Cavs. So it should be interesting. And I don't think either team is going to be able to contain LeBron or Curry. You know, they're two of the best players in the world. So it's about making both those guys work really hard and, you know, see what the rest of the team, the benches, and the 2 through 5 can do for the teams.
I agree with you. The fouls, that'll be an interesting thing to watch. I would say almost even more so for the reasons you were mentioning, which is if guys do get in foul trouble, that brings the bench into play. I'm not sure that free throws are going to hurt the Warriors. They make the ones that they get to the line for. And we saw a player like James Harden, who was probably the best in the league at exploiting drawing fouls and getting to the free throw line. And he just didn't have as much success in terms of that against the Warriors. But, you know, if guys like Green, especially Green, if he's picking up fouls and you're asking, you know, Iguodala or Thompson to be that main man on LeBron, you've suddenly made things quite a lot trickier for yourself. One thing I guess want to know what your opinion is, RJ. Do the Cavaliers, I think defensively, you're right here. I think they have the matchups that work. I think Shumpert and James can switch on the wing with Curry and Thompson. And I don't think Irving is going to be that much of a hindrance. If he is, they can bring on Dellavedova, who's been quite a good defensive player for them during the postseason. But do you think offensively they're going to get enough points, if especially if Irving is hurt or has to come out or re-aggravates his injury, where are the points going to come from? Is J.R. Smith going to be able to be a good scorer, an efficient scorer against the Golden State defense?
I mean, he's averaging 13.5 points a game, which is a bit above his average for the season. It's about what he was scoring last year with the Knicks as six man of the year. But you know, the Warriors are far superior offensively. You know, they got four guys above 11 points a game, and then they have a bench that could score 15 points. You know, Spates can score at will. You know, you have the Brazilian Blur coming off the bench. They have so much to offer offensively. So I think you're right. I think it's going to be very tough. You know, I think LeBron is probably going to have to score 40. I think Kyrie's going to have to score 20. And I think Shumpert and Smith combined are going to have to get anywhere from 30 to 40, just because it falls off so dramatically after those, you know, top four guys. So it's going to be tough, and you know, their bench is really weak. I think if you had Anderson Varejão, who, you know, has some skills offensively, but he's more of a defensive-minded guy, and if you had Kevin Love, you know, we talk about a very different series. So it could, you know, I think to Kevin's point, you know, this could easily go 4-0. You know, I hope it doesn't, because it has the potential to be one of the great series of all time, just, you know, specifically because both teams haven't won in such a long time. And it'll be pretty interesting to see who comes out on top and how that changes the direction of that team for a couple years to come. So yeah, like I said, you know, the former Knicks, you know, Shumpert and J.R. Smith are going to have to play their best series ever if the Cavs hope to win a couple games.
It really is a shame Kevin Love isn't in the series, because I think these are the two rosters, you know, that most people have wanted to see in the finals for most of this, for most of the year. We would have, you know, 5-6 stars on the court if Love and Irving were, you know, playing or even 100%. So it's a shame we're not going to, I think it would be a closer series if Love, you know, were able to play, if Irving were at his, you know, peak, especially offensively, he can light up anybody. But he just hasn't been the same in the playoffs. It's impossible for me to look at guys like Shumpert and Smith and Dellavedova and see enough points there to even compete. I think, John, you wrote, you know, not long ago for the National about how disappointing these playoffs have been, and the finals were kind of our last chance to have an exciting series. But without Love and Irving being himself, it's just hard for me to get excited about these finals. Granted, some of that is my sadness over being a Hawks fan, it looks like a coronation for the Warriors to me.
Yeah, and it could be very, very, very much so. Kind of off topic, what do you guys feel about the coaches? Do you think that, you know, these teams seem to be so independent? They kind of independently, you know, succeed or fail with or without the coaches, you know, whether that's because of the structure or because, you know, in one case, LeBron is kind of like a player coach. Do you think their strategies could impact this? Do you think their, to some degree, inexperience could impact the, you know, the NBA Finals?
Yes and no. Specifically with the Cavaliers, I just don't see David Blatt having that much of an impact. You were kind of talking about this a bit earlier in the sense that LeBron he makes his teammates better, but not even in the traditional sense, I think, of just motivating them, but almost literally coaching them. I don't see, you know, David Blatt almost, what game was that in the earlier in the playoffs where he almost called a timeout?
Yeah,
and cost them, right, at the end, yeah, of a game, sure. And LeBron, he called a weird play for someone other than, yeah, LeBron at the end, and, sure, and LeBron called him off. So I don't think that he's, even if he wants to make a mistake, it seems like LeBron has kind of kept him in check as a player coach, like you said.
Right.
The Warriors are a bit of a more interesting case, I guess. I think that, you know, there's been a lot made of Alvin Gentry, their assistant, and his kind of X's and O's acumen. He just got hired by the Pelicans, largely on that reputation. Kerr has obviously shown to be a pretty cerebral basketball mind, I think, this year. So, if we're talking about in-series adjustments, and we saw this against Memphis when Tony Allen was killing them defensively, and they kind of came up with that, you know, beautifully simplistic solution, which was just not guarding him, and then because he was so bad offensively, he had to come out of the game. So I think in terms of in-series adjustments, the Warriors will have an edge there. I don't know if I can anticipate, though, what that might be, because it seems like all the cards are out on the table in this series. Do either of you guys see there any kind of like hidden trick that a team might have?
No, I mean, the one thing we were talking about is if the Cavs can come together and become something that they aren't, which is a brutish, you know, bad boys style team, to be more physical with a team that, you know, operates so efficiently, that would be the only thing that I could imagine that could muck up the works. But that would be asking a lot, like kind of Kevin said earlier, you know, that's not the way the NBA is designed at this point, you know, and it would be hard for them to kind of turn that around and apply that approach with just a week or so of preparation. So I don't know. One question I want to ask Kevin, do you think David Blatt is fired if they don't win this?
Oh, no. I think he deserves a little credit, especially defensively, for the way he designed defenses to shut down Chicago and Atlanta. Golden State's a similar team to Atlanta, just with way too much firepower.
Okay. All right, let's wrap it up with our picks. Kevin, you think it's a sweep for Golden State?
I think it's a sweep with at least two blowouts.
I'm gonna say the Cavs at least take a couple. I'm gonna say Warriors in six.
I'm wondering if I could call them the Cleveland Knickerbockers, because they have so many of the former Knicks.
We'll allow it.
So I like Cleveland in seven games.
The iconoclast, R.J. Michelson, Kevin Jeffers joining me again. This has been Extra Time. It's produced by Marwan El-Hamadi and the National Multimedia Desk. You can find it on the National Sport Twitter, at NatSportUAE, or the National Multimedia Twitter, at NSVUAE. Thanks for listening.